Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken, so to speak.
All right, season 3, episode 5 of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Redcon One, Old School Labs, and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another edition of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. We have a real special show today. We're, of course, talking about the 1981 Mr. Olympia and this season. And our guest this week is Roy Callender. And Roy was one of the premier bodybuilders in the 1980s, and he was one of the favorites to win the 1981 Mr. Olympia. I think everybody who's seen that show says that Roy, along with Danny Padilla and Tom Platz, were the top finishers in that show. Roy ended up finishing fourth in that contest. But we've got a chance to talk to Roy. He was joining us from Quebec, Canada, where he has a big personal training business out there. So Roy, if you've never heard him speak before, we did a video interview with Roy about a month or two ago for the Bodybuilding Legends Show video series. So check that out if you get a chance. We talked about his whole career. And this one, of course, we're going to focus more on the 1981 Mr. Olympia. But Roy is a really, really great guy, very down to earth, from Barbados originally. So he's from the islands, and he's got that easygoing island attitude. And he's a really, really good guy. So you're going to really enjoy this interview with Roy Callender. All right. As I mentioned, we are brought to you by our sponsors, Redcon One. With Redcon One, everybody wants to be a champion and everyone wants to be the best. At Redcon One, they believe in working hard to achieve your goals. Whether you're killing it in the gym or you're trying to run a six-minute mile, Redcon One has something for those willing to put in the work. They have a premier clinically dosed pre-workout, which is called Total War, and it is the perfect companion to your workout to give you that extra push to break through your mental and physical barriers. And then after your workout, you can fuel your body with the revolutionary MRE. It is the only whole food complete meal replacement, with protein coming from salmon, chicken, beef, and eggs, and carbs coming from sweet potatoes and oats. And it also contains 10 grams of fat from MCT oil. It's the best tasting complete meal you will ever have. So go to redcon1.com and try the very best that sports nutrition has to offer. Redcon One, the highest state of readiness. And as a tribute to the show, you can go to redcon1.com and enter the discount code LEGENDS and get 15% off, 15% discount off your order. So that's fantastic. So please support our sponsors. And we're also brought to you by Old School Labs. Old School Labs makes uncompromisingly premium supplements, and Old School Labs draws on the wisdom from the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer supplements for the discerning athlete. It's the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. Old School Labs is the brand I personally used to win the Natural Mr. Universe in 2012, along with many other competitions. And Old School Labs is giving you 12% off your purchase. So go to oldschoollabs.com and use the code LEGEND12 at the checkout. Old School Labs, supplements that make sense. And of course, Breon Ansley, our new classic physique Olympia winner, is sponsored by Old School Labs, along with Sergio Oliva Jr., another athlete who is also working with Old School Labs. So they are a big, big company. They're growing every day. So check them out. And as I said, you can use the code LEGEND12 at the checkout and get 12% off your order. All right, what else is going on this week? Well, we had some really good feedback from last week's interview with Gary Bartlett. A lot of people enjoyed that interview. And we also got a lot of good feedback on the photos that Gary gave us, which we have right now on bodybuildinglegendshow.com. Go to there and click on our photo section, and you can check out some really rare photos from the 1981 Mr. Olympia. They're black and white photos. They're super clear. And man, they were really amazing photos. I never saw these photos before. I don't know if Gary ever had them published anywhere, but I never saw these photos. He's got some great shots of Danny Padilla and Tom Platz and Roy Callender, and some great comparison photos during the prejudging. So go check those out. I want to say happy birthday to Bill Grant. Bill was on our show before, and he turned 71 this week. Bill looks amazing. He's in great health, and his arms look as good as ever. So happy birthday, Bill Grant. He is doing really, really well. He's got a new supplement line coming out. And so if you're on his Facebook page, go check that out. But Bill looks great. He's always a very positive, upbeat guy. So we want to wish Bill a happy birthday. And our video series, as I was mentioning, I'm still working on that Dorian Yates Part 2 interview. It keeps getting blocked by London Real, who did a series of interviews with Dorian a couple of years ago. And I guess they bought the video rights to all of Joe Weider's old Mr. Olympia videos. So whenever I try to include those clips from those contests in the video, which I'm doing because we're talking about Dorian's six Mr. Olympia wins in that part two of the interview from 1992 to 1997, and keeps getting blocked. So I'm keep editing it. I keep trying it, but it's probably going to take a couple more weeks. So keep checking back to bodybuildinglegendshow.com, and hopefully we'll have that part two up soon. But in better news, we did do an interview. I did do an interview with Mike Ashley a couple weeks ago, and he's going to be our next guest on the video series for the Bodybuilding Legend Show. And it was great to talk to Mike, and got some really good old video footage there from some of his contests, including the 86 Nationals, where he took second place to Tom Terwilliger, and the 86 Universe, where he won. And that was the first IFBB Universe or World Championships that was drug tested. And Mike, of course, claims to be a drug-free bodybuilder. He has never taken drugs. And, you know, to be honest with you, when I was following Mike in the 80s, when I saw him winning all these contests, I was kind of skeptical because I was like, there's no way a guy can beat guys who are on drugs, especially at the pro level. But after talking to Mike, I really kind of believe he really is natural. He's just got really great genetics. He also came from the islands. He's from Jamaica. And sometimes those bodybuilders from that area just have really good genetics. They're very lean. Their muscles popped. And that's how Mike was when he was competing. You'll see on this video series, if you get to check it out when it's up, when he hit his most muscular poses, and even when he's standing in the lineup, he was just so hard looking. And when he hit that most muscular and he hit those side arm poses, his muscles just popped out of nowhere. And that's what really made him so impressive as a bodybuilder. He wasn't that big of a guy. In fact, some of the shows he was in the low 180s when he was competing in the Mr. Olympia, if you can imagine. And I think even at his heaviest, he was only in the 190s, maybe 195 or lighter. So Mike was not a big guy, but it's just what he had was very high quality muscle. And he still looks good today. I mean, I think he's about 2 years older than me, so he's got to be close to 60. And he's doing some personal training out here in the east side of Florida, by the Fort Lauderdale area. And he's doing really good, and he still has a really good physique. So that's one thing he mentioned. He said, well, if you don't use drugs, when you stop competing, you still keep that muscle. And in comparison to a lot of the other pros who look completely, totally different, they don't even look the same anymore. I really got to believe Mike's argument that he really was clean. And I added some videos to the interview. The ones that really impressed me was the 87 Night of the Champions, where Mike got second place to Gary Stridham. And he looked really fantastic there. And then the really great contest was the 1990 Pro Ironman, the Ironman Invitational, which was actually the first Pro Ironman ever. And I was actually in California that year, that month. I think that was in February of 1990. I was out there on vacation, and I got to see the very first Ironman. So I saw Mike take second to Sean Ray, and that was an amazing contest. Gary Stridham was in it. He looked fantastic. Vince Comerford, J.J. Marsh, another great bodybuilder. And they all had amazing posing routines. It's just amazing how great the posing was back then compared to how it is today. It's just, you know, I just saw the Mr. Olympia a couple of weeks ago. And as I mentioned, I think Phil Heath was the only guy to come out and have a posing routine to his music out of all the top 10 bodybuilders, which is just unbelievable. You know, when you think about how great the posing used to be. So yeah, you guys are really going to love this interview with Mike Ashley when it finally comes up. It should be up in another week or so. And then following the Olympia, I guess Big Ramy won the Arnold Classic, which was in Europe, the Arnold Classic Europe, which was in Spain. So Big Ramy won that contest, and he looked really good. And then Rowley Winkler just won a show last weekend. So these guys are winning some contests after the Olympia is over. Rowley looked amazing last weekend. He really peaked for that. He was harder than ever. And he beat out Dexter Jackson and William Bonick. So Rowley, if he can repeat that condition next year, should do good in the Olympia. And I'm sure a lot of you have heard that there was a big breakup with the MPC and the IFBB. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. The IFBB amateur is all around the world, and they have gotten the pros from all these other countries that go compete in the IFBB Pro League. But the IFBB Pro League is owned by the MPC. So those two organizations are connected now, the MPC and the IFBB Pro League. So the MPC runs bodybuilding in America. but they are now going to start doing shows in Europe for the amateurs out there, for that, for a chance for the amateur bodybuilders in Europe to get their pro card, and then they can compete in the IFBB Pro League. What's going to be interesting is to see where Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to go with this. I don't think he's really made a decision on where his Arnold Classic is going to be. Of course, they had it last week, and that was held with the IFBB Pro League. So I don't know really what's going to happen. I guess we'll have to wait and see how that's going to play out. If Arnold is going to go with his old friend Rafael Santoya, who's running the IFBB Amateurs, or if Arnold's going to go with the MPC and the IFBB Pro League. So we'll have to see what happens and where his Arnold Classics are going to go. We're also going to be working on a new season here at the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, season 4. And I want it to be about the 1990 Mr. Olympia, which was the very first drug-tested Mr. Olympia. So I hope to get some of the bodybuilders who were in that show. Of course, Lee Haney won that. That was, I believe, his 7th Mr. Olympia win, right before he broke the record the next year in 91. And, of course, Lee Labrada was 2nd place. And Mike Christian was in that show, and Rich Gaspari. And also, of course, Sean Ray was in there. He took 3rd place. So we're going to try and get some of those bodybuilders on the show, and we can all talk about that 1990 Olympia. That was the only time they ever had a drug-tested Mr. Olympia. So that should be really cool. I want to thank the guys also at Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. They have a podcast, and they review my show every week, and I always listen to their shows as well. So thank you, guys. They really give me positive reviews on the show. So if we have any listeners coming over to the show from Bodybuilding Nerds podcast, thank you for coming on and joining. And I want to tell you guys to join my mailing list. There's a way you can sign up on our mailing list on bodybuildinglegendshow.com. Go there. You can sign up on our mailing list, and you'll get all the new stuff that's happening on the website, including the podcast and also the video series. If we have any new video interviews on there and any articles. Every once in a while, I'll put up an article on the website. So you'll get all of that on our weekly updates on the newsletter. So sign up for our mailing list. You can also email me directly at naturalolympia@gmail.com if you have any comments on the show at all, or if you have any suggestions about any guests or any comments on the shows we did, please, I'd love to hear your comments, good and bad. Just send an email to me at naturalolympia@gmail.com. And also a little plug here, if you guys are looking for help with your diet or your training, and or if you know anybody that's looking for help with your diet or training, I am offering now nutritional consultations and training consultations. And you can just email me again at naturalolympia@gmail.com. I train at the Powerhouse Gym in Tampa, Florida, and I'm helping a bunch of guys out there who are getting some amazing results. I want to mention my friend Tony Bimonte, who has lost like 40 pounds in the last 15 weeks, and he is going to do his first show. Tony was about 255, 260 pounds, big Italian guy, would never, ever consider going into a contest or even looking at abs because he never had any abs. And he's lost like about 6 inches off his waist, and he's made phenomenal progress. So sort of reinvigorated and helping people out again in that. And not just people who are contest veterans, but guys like Tony who have never competed before and just sort of regular guys who want to change their bodies. So if any of you guys are interested in getting some professional advice on your training and your nutrition, you can contact me and I will set you up on a nutrition and training program. And it lasts for 4 weeks. So 4 weeks after we do the initial consultation, I will follow you guys and make sure you're making progress. And then there's a follow-up program also you can do where you can stay with me. And I check in with you once a week. And of course, it's unlimited emails to me. And we can just keep it going, keep the progress going. So you can be like Tony and some of these other guys who I'm helping. All right. I also want to mention that we are brought to you by Florida Alternative Medicine. Florida Alternative Medicine, age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results that you've been looking for. They have a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but are comfortable knowing they're there for you every step of the way. They also offer very competitive pricing along with their quality products and services. So those are just a few reasons to give them a call. So you can call them directly. They're in the Tampa area. Call them at 813-922-8939 or go to their website, which is flalternativemeds.com. That's, again, that's FL for Florida, alternativemeds.com. and they will work with anybody in the United States, even if you're not in the Florida area. And again, that number is 813-922-8939. So I want to thank all of our sponsors, and I want to thank Roy Callender for joining us this week for episode 5 of season 3 of the Bodybuilding Legends Show. And here is our interview with Mr. Roy Callender about the 1981 Olympia. All right, welcome to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. My very special guest this week is Roy Callender. Roy was one of the top bodybuilders in the 1970s and 1980s. And of course, we're here to talk about the 1981 Mr. Olympia again. And Roy was considered one of the top contenders in that contest, that very controversial show. He ended up taking fourth place in the show, but many people, of course, had him in the top three. So I want to welcome to the show Roy Callender. Roy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great, John.
Thank you again for joining us. I know we did an interview a couple months ago for the Bodybuilding Legends show. We did a long interview about your history and the sport. So I'm glad you were able to join us again to talk about this contest.
It's a pleasure, John. Always a pleasure, man.
Well, Roy, I know many people may be familiar with you from your Mr. Olympia appearances in the late 1970s and early 1980s. But you actually got started way back in the 1960s. And I know when we did our interview before, you were in the Mr. Universe in 1967, the NABBA Mr. Universe in London. And that was the first time that you met Arnold Schwarzenegger. And Arnold, of course, won that contest at 20 years old.
Yes. I'd actually met him, around that time. It was a few weeks before he came over to train. And he trained at a gym called Mike Bennett's.
Mm-hmm.
He competed a few months later, and that's when I did my first Mr. Universe.
Yeah.
Funny enough, at that time, John, I thought I had it right. I was doing NABBA Mr. Universe. When I look back at those days, it was a kid. It makes me smile, yeah.
Did you know Wag Bennett too, Roy?
Very well. Wag was the individual is responsible for sending me over to the Mr. Europe.
Oh, okay.
The following year. Oh, yeah, he was very, very, very helpful, very cooperative, he was the instigator, actually.
People that don't know, Wag was a big influence in the European bodybuilding, or the English bodybuilding scene, I should say. And
Oh, yeah.
He was a good friend of Arnold, and actually helped Arnold with his posing, right?
Exactly. Put him at his home. He paid my way to Europe. I was only a train driver at the time, or a guard, I think. And paid my way over to Europe and money and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Very good man. Is he still alive?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think he is. I haven't heard from him in a while.
Okay. People that nice don't hang around very long, do they? Only people like that.
Yeah, right. And Roy, if you could share us that story with us when you competed in Miami Beach and a year later in 1968. And that was the infamous contest where Frank Zane beat out Arnold. And you got to share a room with Arnold that weekend, right?
Well, he came over, he knew me. I already was sharing a room with Nobuo Takemoto from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And when he finally, he felt strange. He couldn't speak English very well. He wanted to, and they told him, well, Roy is here. He said, Roy is here. Well, I want to stay with Roy. So there's a knock on the door. He came in, and I already had a roommate.
Mm-hmm.
And they explained to the Japanese, the little Japanese guy, listen, Arnold would like to stay with Roy. It's funny to see. Because before the words could be out of their mouth, the Japanese kid started bowing and packing his suitcase at the same time, man.
Right.
And, it was funny to see.
Yeah.
And about 5 minutes, he was out of the room with his suitcase, and they took him to another room, and Arnold bumped up with me.
Mm-hmm.
We were together for the next 2 weeks.
And what did you feel about, I mean, you looked really good in that contest too, Roy. I think you only took like sixth place, but... You look great from the pictures.
Little fat kid. I was a little fat kid with a swollen head.
Uh-huh.
But I went over because I wasn't supposed to be there. I was supposed to be back at my job because I had applied to go to the Mr. World in New York.
Okay.
So Joe saw me and he said, I didn't know you looked that good. Listen, you want to hang around and go to Miami? Go to the Universe in Miami? Have you ever been to Miami? I said, no, I would love that. So he ended up making a phone call, putting me on a plane. And when I got there, the courtesies were extended. They had some money to pick me up and stuff, put me away. Hmm. First time I'd ever set foot in Florida.
Wow. That's crazy that Joe Weider actually called your job and to get you to come out there and compete.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the United States the first time when you saw it?
overawed, man. I lived in London. I was overawed. I heard a lot about it. I was overawed to see cops with guns. And I think I went up to a cop once and asked him a question. And when he turned to me, he was chewing his usual gum, but his hand was on his gun.
Hmm.
That was one of the things that stuck with me.
Yeah.
Forever, to this day. And the other one, this was 1968. The other one was, I was in a cab taking me back to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped at a traffic light, and this guy ran over from the corner. Anybody wants to buy a formal shirt? You know, these frilly shirts that you used to wear with the formal attire?
Mm-hmm.
Three shirts for $20. So he held up this thing, and I pulled up to $20. I was so excited. Gave him the $20. And then when I got to the airport and opened the package, it was just three shirt fronts. Those things live with me. They're funny. They live in forever, man.
And so what was your opinion of Arnold losing to Zayn that year? I mean, I think everybody agrees that he really wasn't in shape. You know, he just came off his second Mr. Universe win in London, but he was kind of big and bulky, right?
European-style physique.
Yeah.
Big, round, and white. Zayn came in tight, bronzed, and sharp, you know, mm-hmm. typical Adonis-type physique.
Yeah.
So he was an easy winner for me. Mm-hmm. And Arnold wasn't used to losing, man, and when he went back, he went back to the room, this guy wasn't asleep. We had a big meal, he ate part of it, then he went back to the room, the guy just lay down on his back, pissed off, said, let's go to sleep, man. I'm going to turn over to go to sleep. We switched off the light. Just about go off into la-la land. And I heard this guy saying, Poxy fucking chutches. Poxy fucking chutches. I said, Arnold, competition is over, man. We got a shoot tomorrow. I think you should go to sleep. He said, yeah, you're right. He turned over. Grant. Then a couple of minutes later, I heard him mumble on his breath, I'm going to be big in this fucking America. I'm going to be big in this fucking America. I said, Arnold, go to sleep, man. And that was it. He went to sleep next morning. He got up. We all know how that turned out.
Right.
I'm going to be big in this. We know that right. Turned out.
Yeah, that's exactly. Something
I always say to myself, he said it and he meant it.
I
wish it could be like that.
So, Roy, you competed until the, like, 71, and then you took a break, right? And then you you tried pro wrestling and stuff for a while, and then you came back into bodybuilding in the late 70s, in 77.
Yeah, to represent Canada.
Mm-hmm.
At Miss Universe in France. Then I really got the bug because Arnold was on my case. He saw me in Montreal the previous year. Came over to the 1976 Miss Universe at the Olympic Stadium.
Yeah.
And came over. When I went up to the stadium from I lived in Montreal, so I went over to see it. He said, "Roy Callender, why aren't you training? You know what you're throwing away." He made fun of my outfit, made fun of my arms. Usually, all the time his arms are around me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Next time I see you, I hope you have at least another 60 or 80 pounds on, or something like that."
Mm-hmm.
But it encouraged me, man, and I really had to. The desire after that, and I started training. That was one reason. The other reason was they couldn't understand why a Canadian couldn't win something.
Yeah.
They all ended up, they'll be happy with top six and top five and that sort of stuff. You know, I couldn't fathom that.
Yeah.
So I was happy that I was able to represent this country.
How long did you do the pro wrestling for, Ryan?
Oh, 2 years, 2.5 years.
Oh, really? Okay. Did you like it?
I like the traveling. I like the feminine side of it. I like... Well, let's go into that.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like it very much. I saw the world, man. I wrestled in places I never dreamed I would see.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I've been treated in ways I didn't think I'd ever be treated. It's quite an experience.
Jimmy Caruso got you into that, right? And Jimmy Caruso, for those that followed the bodybuilding scene back then, he was a master photographer. He took some incredible pictures. I think he worked for Joe Weider, but he was also a big influence in the Canadian bodybuilding scene.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. With all due respect to every other BB photographer out there,
mm-hmm.
I don't see anybody better than Jimmy Caruso.
Yeah.
I think that's why he's still alive. I haven't seen anybody better, more patient. I always wondered why Joe Weider would send Arnold from California to Montreal to go into Jimmy's dump of a studio to pose.
Mm-hmm.
and he would set Arnold up, and even Larry Scott, set him up. And if it wasn't right, he wouldn't take the shot.
Mm.
And he was something else. And it rubbed off on me, his posing method and his posing theology, his system. It was one of perfection.
And Jimmy believed in you, right? Right. He's the one that got you back into bodybuilding. He said that you should get back into competing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was the one. I went to his. He was at the wrestling gym because the wrestlers were supposed to train with Bates. They wanted to sell, they wanted to sell them both together. So they opened a wrestling school, and they asked Jimmy to put his gym in the wrestling school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we hooked up. And that's how wrestling, bodybuilding thing. So I started training for wrestling. They wanted me to look good in the ring, build me as Mr. Universe.
Mm-hmm.
So I trained there, and for a while, it looked pretty good. And it blossomed. German promoter came in one day and said, I want some wrestlers, and came into the gym and saw me right away, pointed me out. I want him, and off I went to Germany, to Austria, and to France, and wherever. Pretty interesting.
Okay. So what did Jimmy say to you to get you back into bodybuilding?
Arnold. I told you.
Oh, Arnold was the one. Okay.
Yeah, 1976, man. Never forget it. We had the Miss Universe here.
Right.
Came over and really laughed at me and motivated me to get back.
What did you think of the bodybuilders in the 76 universe? Because you'd been out of the scene for a while, and I think Mike Menser and Robbie Robinson were in the middleweight class, right? And Roger and Walker McAvee, and McAvee beat Padilla, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. And I thought to myself, I don't know if I can beat these guys, but I like what they do. And I got the taste in my mouth again, man.
Yeah.
And it was a bit different from London, but if you really like this sport and you go to a competition and you don't want to compete, there's something wrong with you. At least once. It's like parachuting. If you got to try it once, man. And I tried it. Well, naturally, it's my addiction. It's my love. It's my everything in this sport.
So you did the Canadian Championships in 77, and you won the overall there. And I told you in our previous interview, I thought it wasn't even close. It looked like you were like an advanced guy compared to beginners in that contest.
Oh, I didn't know you had pictures of that. I keep saying that. I was surprised. If you check the record, you would see I wasn't even called out once.
Right.
For a comparison. And I told Jimmy, man, I told you I couldn't win this thing because we had gotten a warning letter about 2 weeks previously saying, yeah, Calvin is big. He's awesome, but we are not quite ready for Black Mr. Canada.
Amazing.
And Jimmy took the letter, folded it up, and said, okay, you see. Yeah. But when I wasn't called out, I said to him, see, I told you. So when I was announced, I just broke down in tears.
Yeah, you broke down after that one. I remember seeing the pictures of that. So then after that, you went to the Mr. International in Columbus, Ohio, which was held with the Mr. Olympia. And you win the heavyweight class, but then you lost the overall to McAvee, who was a great bodybuilder.
Oh, yeah, he is. Good poser, too. Very good.
Awesome.
Pretty good, man. And we went on from there, and Jimmy started after the international. Listen, man, you got to start preparing for the Olympias. I said, you got to be sick. I'm not ready for those guys. He says, yes, you are. So we started to prepare for the Mr. Olympia right after January 1978. Then I said, you can't work at Kraft anymore. You got to fight. I said, what do you want me to do? Go and be a pimp or something? He said, no, we're going to get you some guest posing appearances. You can do some seminars. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, that's how it worked out.
Yeah.
And, I was able to feed myself very well, and everything was looked after. 1978, I was ready for my first Mr. Olympia.
Yeah, that's when professional bodybuilding really was sort of taking off, right? I mean, I know they had the Mr. Olympia since 65, but that was back in the 60s and mid-70s, that was the only professional show was the Mr. Olympia. So in 78, that's when they started having the Night of the Champions and
World Cup. Yeah, the media came out with that. Yep, you're right.
So it was great you were able to finally make a living being a bodybuilder, being a professional bodybuilder.
Yeah. Night of the Champions, man. Came back and paid my rent for a year. And it was amazing. I said, this easy? Doing this?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's talk about some of those Mr. Olympia shows you did in the late 70s. I saw you compete in 78, 79, and then, of course, you did the infamous one in 1980 in Sydney and then 81. So when you did your first one in 78, Roy, how did you think you were going to do? Because I thought you looked fantastic in that show, and you ended up taking third place.
Yes, and I think that alone made me realize I was maturing at the time. There's no need to get a big head about this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know you shouldn't do that. But anyway, I never want to tell people like Boyako, you know, I'm sorry. I don't know how I could get past people like you. I've always admired you. But I don't think he was interested in hearing that. But I that's me. I didn't change for nothing.
Yeah.
So I went up and thanked him and people that I thought should have been ahead of me. Mm-hmm. But everybody said to me, no, Roy, no, you deserve it. You deserve it, man. They don't say that.
Yeah.
I think it was Giuliani or Bill Grant or one of them said to me, don't say that, man. Bodybuilder, you're not beat. So that was the last time I ever attempted to extend sympathy for someone like that.
At all. Yeah, because you beat everybody in that show. The only guys that beat you were Robbie, who was second, and, of course, Zane was first. Yeah.
Enough to give a kid a big head, right? No, I didn't. No.
Brad, let me ask you a little bit about your training. We talked a little bit about it in that other interview we did, but the thing I remember about you from those contests is you were extremely big and thick, more so than I think just about anybody else on the professional stage. So were you training really heavy to get that thickness? Or was it just your years of, you know, all those years of training in the sport?
I think it's a compilation of all those years.
Okay.
I did not try to jump from A to K.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy my training went from A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K.
Right.
But it didn't go, my training didn't go A, B, C, D, E. I didn't play around. I knew what I had to do. I did it. And to this day, I still coach the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the reason for the, maybe not as much as you guys, but that's the reason for the success, my success as a personal trainer here in Quebec.
Yeah. And were you sticking with mostly the basic exercises? Because I remember that's pretty much what everybody was doing back then, right? Barbells, dumbbells, all the compounds.
You better believe it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nothing really prehistoric, nothing really futuristic, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Just basic technique, especially with Crusoe. And that's where I keep repeating that word from. First time I ever heard it was from Crusoe. Mm-hmm. Everything he wanted precisely done, he'd show me why I'm targeting this and show me why I'm targeting that. And I still use some of it today to explain to lay people who are under my charge,
yeah,
why you must do it this way. Why? Why must you do it this way? I have to explain it. I learned that from 19... 19-
Right.
Can you imagine? Still serving well.
Yeah, yeah. And you trained, did you use a lot of volume also, Roy? Because I remember saying that you would do like long workouts.
I heard outrageous things. No. I heard some outrageous things. Not true. What I used to do, I used to go in the gym in the morning because I used to work at Kraft.
Okay.
But as a professional bodybuilder, I stopped that. So what am I going to do? I wasn't married or nothing. So I'd go to the gym. Train, eat, hang around, watch other people train, and then some idiot would come in the evening and say, "Roy, come do arms with me." Why the hell not? So I do it. That's I heard that once I trained for 7 hours, but anybody who knows our sport knows that's impossible.
Right. But were you training like 6 days a week?
Yes, or whatever time allowed me. Once I would train 16 days in a row.
Oh wow! Okay.
And then take 4 weeks off. No, sorry, 4 days off.
Uh-huh.
But during that 4 days off, I grew like a penis. You know, I didn't realize I was growing that much in those 4 days rest.
Yeah.
Really eating to recover.
When Mensah was around back then, he advocated training with low volume. Did you ever try that?
No.
No? Okay. And how many sets would you do per body part, right? Would it be like 20, 30 sets?
Sets for bodybuilding. I don't know. You know something? To this day, I never count how many reps or set I do.
Hmm.
I feel my muscle and I feel my body. I listen to it and I teach that way. I used to teach. I still do. I'm working on a project now which will even take that further. I still do group exercise classes. You call it aerobics. My okay. classes were geared around muscle tone and technique.
Okay.
And because of what was happening here, I think everybody's jumping up and down and shouting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing a group training classes, not CrossFit. I said group training classes. So even in the class, I would find time to instruct the ladies and tell them why they must do it this way and why they feel it. And before I know it, people couldn't get in. We had a capacity of 50 and people were lined up outside.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had to start growing in the sport, do 2 classes, do 3 classes. And then I started charging for the classes. And so the owner of the gym, I think it was Gold's Gym at the time, he came over and said, Roy, listen, you got to charge for these classes. I said, I'm not going to charge. Nobody's going to come. He said, no, I'm charging $5 per person, like we'll see. And the classes were still packed.
Wow. So okay.
Every class of 50 people, the $200 fee. And mm-hmm. I take very little, but I was quite flattered, and the volume and the amount of classes we had to do, but that propelled me. That even put a better foundation onto my personal training business, because right. that made the personal training business grow.
Yeah. So and this was back in the 70s, then, when you were training in California.
Well, I learned to do group fitness out there and in Australia, but here in Quebec, I really took it to the limit, man.
Okay. Let's talk about the 1980 Mr. Olympia a little bit before we go into 81. That was mm-hmm. the one that Arnold won. And I thought up to that time, I know you'd already won some shows. Like you won the World Pro Championship. And I think you won the Canada yeah. Cup, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought 80 was a breakthrough for you. I thought you looked fantastic in that show. And
well, thank you. I didn't think I did. But thank you, man. Coming from you. Now my head is going to grow at this at this age of my life.
Right.
But I didn't think I missed it. I missed by a little bit. It happened to you. I just missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why Roger got ahead of me. But he should have got ahead of me anyway.
Yeah.
I missed it. I have no complaints for that. I have no complaints for Arnold. And then I look at what happened last weekend. I think that Arnold earned it.
Right.
And I wouldn't complain about it for the 1981 Olympia. I think that whatever, I think Danny should have won. I would mm-hmm. love to have won it. But when people tell me they considered I won it, it was, okay, thank you very compliment. But you know that Danny had the best physique in the world at that time.
Yeah.
So I don't think that was an injustice. When I see what has happened this weekend, since last weekend, I sincerely tell you it brought tears to my eyes, because if you got to get better than that, you have to get better than that. Not good. Not good. Mm-hmm. Not good. You can't do it. If you want something to grow, don't poison it. You still tell people, oh, buy this. You know, you can't do that. I hope we recover. I hope we got, I don't care how much promotion we put there, it still has to have credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Don't destroy it. Don't destroy it for what? For what?
Did you go to the Olympia last weekend, Roy?
No, I didn't go.
No?
I didn't go.
You just watched it?
I watched some of it, but I could smell it. I said, they're not going to give to this guy. He's the best physique there today. I don't know if he's the best physique tomorrow, but today,
yeah.
he is the best.
You thought Big Brownie should have got it?
Big time. He's not a fan of his at all. Never liked his physique.
Hmm.
But I like the changes he brought.
Yeah.
Some changes this year.
Out of the current guys today in that contest that you saw last weekend at the Olympia, which physiques do you like the most?
The guy who came third in the open, but I like the classic physiques. So I like Bonac in the open, but classic physiques, I like them all. Sorry. Man.
Yeah. Do you think that's where the sport's going to probably go? Do you think that's going to gain more popularity?
It should, my brother. It should. The top four, I didn't care who won.
Yeah.
I like them. Remind me of the old days.
Let me take you back to the 80 Olympia, right? When you saw that lineup, and I think to this day, that's got to be one of the best lineups in the Mr. Olympia ever. You had Zane, Dickerson, Mike Menser, Boyer Coe, Arnold, yourself, Roger Walker, Danny Padilla was in it. I mean, what did you think when you saw all those guys in one show?
Honored. Listen, man, I always felt myself honored to be in the company of those guys. I don't know what else to say. I always felt honored to be among those guys.
Yeah.
And this is why I think I went over and apologized to Boyer.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I can't tell you otherwise. It's true.
And what did you think of Arnold in that show? Because you saw him backstage and stuff, and you were good friends with him.
Well, he's my friend. He's lost contact. He was very good to me, very good to me, up to the 1981 Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he did not have the best physique on that day, but you cannot compare it to what happened last weekend. One. Two, for what he had done for bodybuilding up to that time,
mm-hmm.
I would not begrudge giving it to him. So my feelings are sentimental, but understandable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to, I can't say anything negative against that win at all.
You
have to find a way to make it positive because of what he had done up to that point. But some people might say to me, Roy, but he's not being judged on what he did. My opinion, he should be. That time, he should have been. He was in the sport and had made the sport.
Arnold being who he is, that did have an influence.
You better come good, though. Somebody had to win, they would have to be extremely good. I mean, he would have lost. But I think everybody missed it. I don't know. It was too close. It should not have been that close. If you want to beat a legend, come with a sword that would kill the guy. But don't just gripe because your sword was not sharp enough. So,
mm-hmm.
That happened.
Okay, so let's talk about 81, right? This was the Olympia that a lot of people boycotted. Mike Bentzer and Poirier Coe and Frank Zane, I think Albert Beckles also, they all boycotted it. Did they call you up and tell you, before the show happened, don't do the show because it's not going to go fair?
I was called.
Uh-huh.
But I was also called by Arnold.
Oh, yeah? What did Arnold say? He invited
Are you coming?
The show.
Are you coming? Yes, of course I'm coming, man.
Uh-huh.
I'm coming. Okay. I didn't put out any warnings. I didn't go to his promised universe.
Right.
I think it was in Philadelphia. He wanted to make sure I was coming to Columbus. I said, I'm coming, man. I'm training. I'm putting in a lot of time and effort and money. I'm coming. He said, can I count on that? I said, don't count on it. I'm telling you. Go and bet on it. I'm going to be there.
Okay. You spent most of the year in California training for that, right?
At that time, yeah.
Yeah.
But I said, what happened last year cannot be repeated. Cannot be. This is my reasoning.
Right.
And then I saw Franco. I said, well, the same thing is not going to happen because there's no way.
Yeah.
There is no way. This is not Arnold last year. This is a different kettle of fish here.
Yeah.
Danny ripped to shreds. Skin stuck to his jaws and his muscles. No, there's no way.
Right. So tell me a little bit about your preparation for that show, right? Because I think as good as you were in 80, I thought you were at your all-time best in 81. So did you feel like this was going to be your chance to win the title?
Yes. That's why I stayed in California.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get distracted by things at home and everybody coming for this and that and mm-hmm. training and all that. No. I went to California, so I'm one of the boys.
All right, Roy, let's talk about that 1981 Mr. Olympia.
The famous one.
The famous one.
Infamous.
So you were in California. Did you stay all year in California training for that show?
No. I spent part of that time in Japan. I was doing some seminars. And the rest I spent in Europe.
Okay.
I lived in Essen, Germany at that time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, as the contest is getting closer, I'm sure either Boyer Coe or Mike Mentzer or Zane called you and told you that they were boycotting the show, and I think they tried to get other bodybuilders to boycott the 81 Olympia also, right?
Yeah, that's right.
What did Boyer say to you, or whoever it was that called you?
He said, well, in light of what happened, he thinks all the other guys have decided that they're not going, and he wanted to inform me that it's up to, he thinks that it would be in the best interest of the sport if I joined them and just didn't show up. For me, it wasn't a no-brainer. For me, it was a no-brainer.
Right.
For someone who was standing on the outside, it would have not been, but they had no insight as to my relationship with Arnold.
Uh-huh.
And if I call someone a friend and they have not proven to me otherwise, they will always be my friend.
Right.
So,
okay.
I stayed in my original thing. I told Arnold I was coming.
So after your good placing in 1980, I mean, you were right up there with the best of them. Did you feel that you had a shot at actually winning the show in 1981?
For that reason, yes, because I figured, okay, there's not going to be another Arnold there. Mm-hmm. I really got into preparation. I didn't say it's gonna be my last shot, but I said if I'm gonna go for this thing, I don't see anything that is gonna harm me here. Let me go for it. So yeah. I really devoted a lot of time and energy and planning into it, and not exactly as I wanted, but physically, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're in the gym and you're getting ready, and I know this from when I've competed before, and you know, when I'm getting ready for a show and I'm really ready and I know I'm ready. So were you in the gym in California, and what was the feedback you were getting from the people around you? Because they had to all be like, wow, bro, you're looking better than ever.
No. You want to hear something funny? I left Essen, flew to San Jose to guest pose at the Mr. USA.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was Paul Love was the promoter. I guess Paul at the Miss USA, and after the Miss USA, I think Bernard Fox was there. They thought, you know, you're pretty good, but you need to get a little sharper. But I didn't say anything, but I knew what I was going to do. And by the time I was ready to leave San Jose, I was ready. I was like a leaf at the end of summer.
Yeah.
All dried out, yeah. I was ready. So when I got to Columbus, it was a little cooler. I started to fill out exactly at the right time.
Right.
I felt so optimistic about my chances.
What was your weight for that show, Roy? Do you remember?
What did I weigh?
Yeah.
Before I started my final preparation, I weighed about 228, 229. Before I started, I think about final 3 weeks now. Because I spent 2 weeks or so at Paul Love's place and trained at his gym. So I would say about 229. When I got there, it was about 219.
Okay. Wow, that's pretty big for 1981, right?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Yeah.
That's why it was a disappointment. That's why it was a disappointment. I had never learned as much. And Arnold had helped me in some of the things, because when I give him a call, he'd really go into the details of what I should do and what I shouldn't do. I had never gone into such detail, man. Naturally, I'm older. I've learned a lot more. I've been around the guys. I've read a little bit more. I didn't have to do a lot of experimenting.
Uh-huh.
Except in pushing myself a little harder, but didn't have to do a lot of experimenting at all. I had taken all those years of experience, and they said, okay, we're not going that road again. We're going this road. It all worked.
Yeah.
And as you know, most of us, we had to work by trial and error. Well, everything is really, but you have to eliminate as many trials as you can.
And right. There was no coaches back then like there is today.
That's it. You better look in the mirror. You better think.
Mm-hmm.
You better plan. You better make it make sense on paper.
Frank Zane advised you on your trunks, right, Roy?
But that one, yes. Oh, yes. Tremendous help, man. I can't really put into words the amount of cooperation you used to get. And this is for that reason. One of the reasons why I felt a bit like if I was a Judas, when Boyer asked me not to go, and I said, no, I said, okay, I'll go, but I had promised Arnold I'm coming. So either I deceived my friend or I deceived a group of fellow professionals. And I preferred not to deceive my friend.
So, right.
I went. That is
what.
That is,
what did Zane tell you about the trunks?
Oh, Roy, first time I ever heard it. So that's a sign of my maturity. He said, "Roy, listen, man. When you go on that stage, you have a great physique. This side, the only thing I see wrong, you break it in two. You go, yeah, great physique. You go on the stage in red trunks and stuff. You look like two pieces.
Yeah.
If I were you, I would wear black. No, I'm saying what the hell is he getting at? I'd wear black, and you look like one great, magnificent piece of ebony up there."
Yeah.
And I said with a smile, a fake smile, okay, yeah, it's a good idea. And I went home, I laid down, I thought about it. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll get the trunks made for you. And you know what? His mother made them.
Yeah, yeah.
And he brought them and gave them to me and said, okay, this is how I'm going. I looked at myself in the mirror. I liked it. I was doing my practice in my posing. I liked it. It's just, this is something I couldn't learn in Quebec.
Yeah.
So I went with it, and I was very, very pleased with the picture I saw after. The rest is history, actually. I was very skeptical. Then trails, then really started to understand something else about bodybuilding. And then I understand, and then I understood why a lot of the white guys got themselves brown and wore brown shorts. This is the idea. guys had since gone away from that, a few of them, but I would not have gone away from that ever.
Yeah, that's right. I remember, now that you said that, I remember Zane's mother used to always make his posing trunks, and when he was winning that Olympia, his trunks fit perfect. They were like custom made for him. I mean, they looked perfect for his physique.
So how am I going to tell him, Frank, you don't know what you're talking about?
No, right.
he got my trunks made for me free.
Wow, that's great. And I agree with him. When I saw you in that contest, you did look like more ripped, and maybe the trunks had something to do with it, you know, because they're same color as your skin.
One piece.
Yeah, one piece, right. So tell us, take us backstage with you, Roy. Like, you're getting ready for the show. Nobody knows what anybody looks like. You guys are all pumping up back there. And tell us what your thoughts were, like what the other guys look like or whatever.
Funny days. We all used to play cock cat and mouse backstage.
Yeah.
And I like that. Remember those days? They're funny. We had separate rooms. And guys would walk up and down and peep into the room to see, hey, sorry, I was coming in here, but you're looking to see how everybody looks.
Uh-huh.
And I think I saw, it wasn't Boyer, one of them, not Wolf, I saw somebody. And I said, I saw Albert Beckles, and I said, did you diet for this competition, man? He said, no, with a smile. Yeah, but I'm here, I don't expect to do anything, I'm just here, man. I went into a different room myself, with Muhammad Bukhari, I can't remember. Went into a room with somebody, and we shared that room. We locked the door, and I think it was Yusuf Bilkosh.
Yeah.
And we started doing our own thing back there. Yusuf? I think it was Yusuf. And we started doing our own thing back there. Yeah. And we came out, and there was Gary Bartlett waiting with his camera. Roy, what the hell? You're not wrong, Calvin. I said, yes, I am, brother. A year older. And he said, you look great. You have a good chance at the show, man. And he started taking a lot of shots of me. And I felt really encouraged and really emboldened. That was the only time I felt it. Because I always lacked confidence. I always lacked it. I didn't know how to. I felt very emboldened by their approach and by the compliments.
Yeah. Was that when Gary took that picture of you standing against the wall where you hit the most muscular?
You got it.
Yeah, that's a famous picture,
Exactly how it happened. You probably heard it before, but that's exactly what happened. We came out, you said, Mike, stand over there, wait, hold it. I just give him a quick one.
So did you see Franco, Danny, Tom Platz? Did you see what those guys looked like backstage?
I saw Tom Platz, but I remember like today, he was walking away from me, and I said, eesh, okay. Okay, because I'd seen him in the gym the week, 2 weeks before, and at the old, the first world gym that was open there, I saw him walking, doing some, those, as a matter of fact, someone posted a picture of him doing something that we used to do called, used to call them sissy squats, but I used to call them limbo squats, the way we had to do them. And he was doing those, and I said, yeah, Tom is big, he's very big, but I don't think he can be that cut. I didn't worry about him, and I saw him walking there from me back there again. That started to worry. That guy's there, mean business. And I did not see Danny.
Okay.
I'm lying to you. I saw Danny the night before at the weigh-in.
Okay.
And we were discussing the money. And they were saying they're going to have this amount of money for the first and the second. They're going to increase it now and all that sort of stuff. And Danny said, so who's going to be the judges? He was the first one that raised it. What is the judging panel going to look like? Because this is not Australia, and I don't want anyone playing with my money. I'm saying, those are his words, exactly. And I said to myself, what money is he talking about? But his face looked like a dried up leaf. And I said, I don't know. What is he talking about? His money? So what about mine? He's not going to beat me. Yeah, right. I didn't know what he had hidden under his face.
Yeah, but like you said, you never saw his face that lean before, right?
Nah, I never saw him that serious. He was like the clone in the dressing room. Never that. He's ready. I never forget. He said, "I don't want anybody playing with my money. This is not Australia." But right. I want to know who's, you know, in New York accent. Who's going to be judged? What are they judging on? What are they going to look for? He wanted to ask a lot of questions, and they had to name the judges right there.
Uh-huh.
And he said, "Okay, I'll wait and see how everything works." So, but I hope you don't have a repeat. That was Danny's last words when he walked out.
Wow. What about Franco? Did you see him backstage?
Not a word. He just came in and kept quiet.
Okay.
He didn't say anything. He knew what was up. So I don't think he had to say anything.
Right. So then you guys go out on stage, and I remember you were standing right next to Franco, and the first thing you did to him after everybody got out on stage and they were all waiting there and the crowd's going crazy, you show Franco your legs. And I remember you put your leg out and you showed your sartorius muscle because you were so gripped. Right.
I did that on purpose. Yeah, I did on purpose because I was saying that no, he really doesn't have a chance. I'd only beaten him once. And that was way back in the Mr. Europe.
Right.
In 1988. And I felt really confident because Aaron was in the panel then, and I beat him. So I said, okay, he's got an injured leg. One leg is bigger than the other. I've seen his gas. I've seen his I see they had a little bit of gyno.
Yeah. But
a lot of actually, such as my God, no, I don't think he can. I didn't count him in at all. I didn't count him as one of the toughest guys. I saw Danny and Tom, and I said, this is where your competition is. And the best I was looking at is third.
Yeah. And what did Franco do when he did that? He started hitting poses too, right?
Yeah. And I said, but you're flexing your chest, man, but look at this, your leg. That was fun.
Right.
It's called a leg, man. It's called a sartorius. Show me yours. Most muscular. And I'm showing him my leg. And
the crowd loved that. They were going crazy.
That was fun, man.
So then they start calling comparisons, and it right away you could see the top five because they were calling Franco and Dickerson and Danny, you, and Tom.
Mm-hmm. But still, I didn't smell anything. I couldn't see why Franco was called up for a comparison. I couldn't see.
Right.
Chris, I thought Chris' flaws were too blatant. He would have had a little bit of correcting to do. He had one side of his chest was not like Chris always had beautiful calves. I don't know if it's a ballet dance or something, but I didn't think he was ready on that day. The following year he was, but on that day I don't think he figured. I figured in fourth, and I said, okay, my competition is Danny and Tom for sure.
Yeah,
I see Franco fourth. I see Chris fifth. And that's what I saw. I started running that through my head, and then my entourage, well, not, you know, the few people that came down from Canada,
uh-huh.
a lot of them actually, but the ones who managed to got backstage came in and they hugged me and said, "You got it, Roy, you got it. Canada's going to get its first Mr. Olympia." I feel all teary-eyed now talking about that because they all came in and said, "Canada's going to get the first Mr. Olympia, and it's you. You're doing a good job."
Yeah.
I said, "Listen, man, it's not over. 12 guys out there are going to judge us. It's not over." Yeah, but it's too clear. I think Danny is about you and Danny are about the two best up there. So you go up there, you're a little bit taller, but he has good proportion, but I think your physique is a little bit more robust. One guy, I remember one guy still told me that, and he said, okay, but I'm not gonna think about that guy. Don't forget Australia.
Yeah, like I told you before, Roy, I saw you in 78, 79, and 81, I think you were more aggressive on stage. It seemed like you really wanted it, and I never remember seeing you that aggressive before.
That's what I told you. I never had confidence.
Yeah.
And I never wanted to appear cocky. I think it's because it was brought, I think most of my bodybuilding life started in Europe, in England, and that's the wrong place to be cocky or arrogant. And no, I'm serious. They adore modesty, and I fed on that, and I adopted it. But in America, you don't do that. In America, you tell people what you have, and show them what you have.
Right.
And you don't do that. It took me a while to shake it, and I shook it, and I got it for the Mr. Olympia.
And then one of the judges came up to you, right? Jacques Bouchard, and he gave you a compliment, right, after the prejudging?
Jacques Bouchard. Oh, no, he only gave me one compliment. He said to me, I have always said cows are going to hold you back, but this right. year you brought them. What did you do? I said, I just worked. I had to prepare a complete physique. But he had always said to me, you're big. I always thought you were big. You were ready, and you didn't have your calves, man. But I think you're going to do very well. Yeah, that's all I have to say. I think you're going to do very well.
Okay,
whatever. Thank you, man, and walk away.
Yeah, I was looking at these.
Terrible, those conversations, though, from Jack Blomar. I never shared that. I don't think
yeah. I was looking at the score sheets from the 81 Olympia, they did a point system. And Jacques had you, he gave you a 19 in the first round, but in the second and the third round, he gave you a 20, and you were the only competitor out of all the competitors that he gave a 20 to.
Yeah, that's when he said to me, I see you, I see you. He didn't say any words. He just said, I see you, and he gave me a thumbs up and walked away.
Uh-huh.
And that made me even a little bit more confident. You see, I think he could not be pushed by anybody to change his vote or to vote this way or that way. I think he was one of the people who on the panel who, not saying anybody else was.
Right.
But if anybody was fettered, if anybody was unfettered, it was him.
Yeah.
I took it as a big compliment. I can't remember if Bill Purr was on that panel.
No, he wasn't.
Okay. I can't remember the panel. I think he was on the panel when I won the Diamond Cup. So he gave me the same words that Bill Pearl had given me when I won the Diamond Cup in Canada. He said, Roy, you're coming on. You're coming on. I think you're going to have to find a jeweler. That's all he said in the world today.
Yeah.
When I hear those little hints, I was very encouraged when Job told me that. Roy, you are
hearing. Dominic Cerdo gave you a 20 also, right? He gave you a 20 in all three rounds. Dominic Cerdo?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You were really, you know about me to knee. That's scary, man. I didn't completely put it behind me. You're right. He did.
Yeah.
You're right. And those sorts of people who have absolutely no connection to you, never spoke to you, never, you know, joked it because I guess most of them a few times in Belgium, but Dominic, when somebody like him gives me 20, he's not biased.
Right.
Never said much. That's what he saw. And that sort of thing, even though I wasn't given the title or Danny wasn't given the title, I felt encouraged. That eased some of the pain. At least I got some people's honest attention.
Yeah.
And, I carried that with me. I used that as a plus because I had no intention of coming back.
Oh, really? Okay.
No. I said after that, I was really down. I don't know what they wanted. I don't even think Danny went to England. I'm not sure. You will know more about that than me.
Yeah, he did, but Danny, he wasn't in the. I don't think he was in the top 10. He wasn't in shape.
And yeah. I didn't want to do that. You see, I didn't want to do that.
That was a crazy year because I don't think anyone going into the show really expected you or Danny or Tom to look so great. And I think all three of you reached your lifetime best in that contest.
Yep. I think I still had something left, but I don't know if I had the balls and the spiritual strength to do it.
Uh-huh.
And I decided to, you know, sit it out and go to Barbados and relax a little bit and open a little club there and enjoy the sun and give something back to that little country in which I was born.
Yeah.
So I left there, left 81, 82, and went back there in 83, I think. Came back from Japan. And I went and, well, I came back from tour, it was Zimbabwe or somewhere. And I went back to Barbados and started a little gym there and really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed that in my life. And then got into politics and stuff. It was a very, very exciting time out there. You probably know about my political life as well because you
You really need to do your research, man.
At that night show, Roy, didn't they screw up your music when you came out to do your routine?
I didn't care. I was, you can't, see, that's maturity again. I couldn't let that make me angry. No, I didn't care. I had a physique to show.
Right.
And I knew how to pose and I knew how to present it. So I didn't really care. It annoyed me at the minute it happened. And then after, no, it didn't.
Yeah, I remember watching it from the audience, and I'm like, oh, man, are they going to screw him? Are they screwing with his music just to mess with him, you know?
I was being screwed anyway, but I didn't know it.
Right. So when you went to that night show, where did you feel, honestly, in your own mind, where did you feel you were going to place?
I drew confidence from the compliments that were paid to me by the, that's a possible lot of people from Quebec, by the fans from Canada and people that I didn't know. That would have absolutely no reason to come at them. You already think you got it. Just to say it. I wouldn't imagine that anybody would do that.
Yeah.
But I'd never heard that. Those sorts of compliments paid to me before at any other event, not except Mr. Canada. At any other event. So I didn't let that get in my head, though, man. I knew that the result is only the result when Oscar Heidenstam says, and the winner is.
Mm-hmm.
The most important part. So I think it's
okay.
You give you some confidence, you walk away feeling good, and once you're confident, it reflects on your physique. So I felt confident about it. So
did you feel you had a shot to win?
Of course. I told you that before. I told you that one. Why I had a shot to win is when Blomark said that to me, and you're telling me now Dominic said the same thing on his cheeks. I can't even remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
So people that whose names I didn't know, with whom I only had the tertiary polite good morning, hello.
Uh-huh.
Never had a conversation. And they're complimenting me. I said, that has never happened. I did not, however, I'm old enough not to let that go to my head. I still had a job to do.
Right. So when the final pose down was over with and they announced you in fourth place, what was your feeling? Were you really heartbroken?
Not heartbroken, terribly disappointed, but encouraged by the shouts from the crowd.
Yeah, and, crazy.
I didn't think a repeat of Australia again. I didn't say that. I was disappointed. I said, it must be something that I did tonight that I didn't do this morning. Because you remember in those days, they used to judge the last part, your posing, on that moment. The contest was not over in the morning.
Yeah.
Exactly.
At night too. Yeah.
Because you can lose. You can come into the evening and lose.
Right.
And that's what I liked about it. But I don't think my posing was that bad. I don't think it was. I think it presented very well. I said, okay, fourth. Felt disappointed. Walked off the stage. Did not feel bitter. Did not get a "I'm sorry, Roy" from my friend. But I walked past him, and Arnold didn't say much anyway. It just. It's okay. I don't mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the next day it hurt. The next day when I saw some of the pictures and stuff, and we were at breakfast, and I'm getting all these sympathetic, pats on the back, and you'll get them next year. I said, next year? You know what you have to go through to come back year after year? You get it next year, and this and that and the other. I said, okay, man, thanks. But I had no intention of going to London at all. Not after that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. If it was between myself and Tom had beaten me, if it was between myself and Danny had beaten me, I would have gone to London the next year.
Right, because it would have been a fair decision.
Yes. Everybody would be expecting something. But I wouldn't turn up there out of shape. But fourth? Okay, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you were in amazing condition, Roy, and I'll tell you, after all these years, we're still talking about it, and you and Danny and Tom, all three of you.
And that's flattering, especially from someone like you. There are a lot more people who know a lot less than you. It's encouraging, man. I know that if I die tomorrow, I live that experience.
Right.
I'm so damn happy to have lived it.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to to live. This is 2017. You're talking about 1981. Right. I'm so happy and pleased to discuss some of that with you and reminisce about it. I don't have to be a billionaire. My life seems so rich, enriched by things like this. All of that I have in 1981 is still my check.
Right, exactly.
Like I'm receiving a check on that day, and then we talk about things like this.
I think so many competitors, bodybuilders, even fans, you know, they go, oh, well, it was such a waste, you know, because they got sort of ripped off. They didn't get what they deserved. But I think just all the work you put into developing your physique and then hitting your peak and showing it to everybody and competing, I mean, I think that's, like you said, it stood the test of time, because here we are 20 years later, 35 years later, and we're still, you know, in awe of the physique that you had and Danny had and Tom had. So it never goes away, you know?
Maybe those things keep me young. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right, a lot of that stuff that we did, actually it strengthened me for coaching. And as much as bodybuilding had changed a lot, there was still a lot of advice you can give to youngsters and people who are thinking about competing, and encourage them. And I've seen a few of them come along and take the words of wisdom or words of experience that they could pass on to them and make something of themselves in my sport. And it still had its benefits. So I didn't really. This is why I don't, to this day, feel downhearted about it. I don't know.
Right.
Okay. Part of it. If I had fought for the heavyweight title, then I would. If I had fought for the heavyweight title once, and I'd been knocked out, if I'd been knocked out, the guy's the winner. If I'd gotten a decision, and he'd gotten a decision over me, I would feel like I could have been champion. But that's just their opinion. So. Yeah. It's the same thing for our sport. We are a judged sport, and you have to look at it that way and take it that way. Take it for what it is.
Yeah, subjective judging.
Yeah, we're a judged sport. So you're like gymnasts. No big deal.
We've got some pictures on my website, bodybuildinglegendshow.com, and if you get a chance, right, check them out, because Gary Bartlett, after I interviewed him last week, he gave me a bunch of pictures. So we put them up on the website from the 81 Olympia, and they're really great shots.
That guy, I gotta meet him again.
Yeah,
he goes back a long way. I gotta make a confession. I hope many people are here. The thing about me, John, is I am old school, and it's only because of my wife now that I am really getting into IT communication and checking out this in the internet and that on the internet.
Right.
I'm only now learning. I would say this year. This year, okay, I'm not ashamed to say it. This year, I'm starting to be able to communicate and connect and see what's really going on. And a lot of the stuff I didn't know, I'm sure if I was IT connected, I'm sure we would have been hooked up a long time ago.
Yeah.
Not only last year and early this year. So I'm gonna check all that stuff out. But I need to do it. You know what I'm saying? I need to. There's a lot of stuff. Guys come into the gym where I am, and tell me, "Roy, I saw this about you. What? Is that true? Really? I didn't know that was out there." So I'm getting more aware of the IT thing that out there that I can check on, and I will do that.
Yeah, when I talked to Gary last week, he told me a story about when you were wrestling, and him and his friends were all in the bodybuilding.
There you go.
"Oh, we got to go see this wrestling show because Roy Callender's in it." They went up to you and talked to you, so they knew you from the bodybuilding world.
Yeah. They came to the dressing room, and they showed me some pictures of myself as a wrestler. I thought I had this good physique. They used to build me as Roy Callender, Mr. Universe. Da, da, da.
Right.
Then I saw that physique that I had in the dressing room, I laughed. I think there's this Roy Callender thinking he's hot stuff. When I saw the picture, I think it's hot stuff. Hot stuff for the ring, but, you know.
Right.
I do remember him coming to the dressing room and sitting down and talking to me.
Yeah. Okay, Roy. Well, thanks again for joining us for this interview. And as I said, I think you're one of the great champions from the 1980s. That 1981 Mr. Olympia wouldn't have been the same without your physique in there. And I think you're one of the best ever. And so it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Roy. And I'm glad we had a chance to talk again.
John, that's so kind of you, man, and I assure you the pleasure is all mine.
All right.
Okay?
Okay, right. Hope to talk to you again in the future.
Good health to you, man. Bye.
Thank you, right. Same to you. All right. Thank you for joining us for another edition of the Bodybuilding Legend Show. I want to thank Roy Callender again for joining us. Roy did an interview with us a couple months ago, so I was glad he was able to take time out of his busy schedule and talk to us again. That was a great interview about the 1981 Olympia. And next week, we will be joined for another interview about the 1981 Olympia. So I hope you join us then. I want to thank our sponsors, Redcon One, Old School Labs, and Florida Alternative Medicine for sponsoring the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. We'll see you guys next week. Nothing, but nothing.